from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Calvin Austin's been amazing all offseason. Just watching his speed, his ability to get in and out of routes. Van Jefferson, his diligence. You know, I spent a lot of time with the guys in the offseason throwing and just watching guys like Quez Watkins, Scotty Miller. You know, there's so many guys that are – I'm excited for Roman Wilson to see what he can do. You know, I think that a guy who's been a champion in college, it's, you know, one thing to do at the highest level in college is another thing to do in the NFL, and I think he has that mentality of wanting to be that every day. You know, and there's a lot of other guys too. Marquez Calloway's fighting and a lot of other great players.
I just love the Van Jefferson. I love his diligence. You and I both found that immediately very funny. Can't say anything about Van Jefferson as an actual football player, but he is diligent.
Russell Wilson is so calculated, okay? Like, he's not deliberately or intentionally trying to tell us who their next best receiver is, but the order and then the way he described each player.
Oh, there was lavish praise for Calvin Austin.
He believes right now, before they get into pads and whatnot, that Calvin Austin is their second best receiver. The best you can say about Van Jefferson is that he's a hard worker. The other guys just get little name pops, little shout outs.
Roman Wilson got like the sort of sideways, he's a rookie, hasn't done anything kind of.
Yeah, congratulations on all your college success, but this is the NFL now, kid, is what that answer was.
Now, if he had been a Wisconsin wide receiver, I feel like Russ would have been much more.
How about NC State?
Either or.
What do you think he has more loyalty to?
Who do you think he should have more loyalty to?
NC State.
Same here.
But do you think Cam Johnson should identify more with North Carolina or with Pitt?
Do you think Cam Johnson got drafted because of what he did at North Carolina or
yes.
at Pitt? I would say North Carolina then in Cam Johnson's case.
Let's go All Access with Aditi, and she is brought to you by Bet365. Good afternoon, Aditi.
Hi, guys. Why are you so much taller than Muller right now? Are you like sitting on
his camera's
pillow?
Adjusted.
Well, I am much taller than Muller.
He's 6'3". I'm 6 yeah, feet but- even.
But that's still not like a 3-inch disparity right there.
Mm. Here, I'll try to stay.
Also, my head is like significantly larger than
Aditi,
yours.
Aditi, congratulations on another season with CBS. And
you're
going to get Steelers and Broncos in week 2. What a game. That's going to be a lot of fun. The Russell Wilson.
Oh, yes.
People thought this was going to be Monday Night Football in week 1. And you guys, Sparrow Ditas and the gang, get it in week 2. That's awesome.
Well, you know what's so great about this is that we were actually, our crew, Adam Archuleta, Spiro Ditas, and myself, were in Denver week 2 last year.
I mentioned that to Donnie off the air, the Hail Mary play.
Yes, yes. So anyway, we were there, and we were there when Sean Payton and Russell Wilson were talking about, quite frankly, how much they loved each other. And Sean Payton saying he wouldn't have taken this job if he didn't believe in Russ and what he enjoyed about Russ so much. And Russ talking about watching plays, watching film late at night and drawing up plays with Sean Payton while candles were lit, like literally by candlelight. I still have all of these notes about how the two of them were raving about what they would do together. And then, of course, it's not how it all worked out. So,
no.
Well, I would love to be a fly on the wall in those production meetings before that game. I would love for you to like sneak a tape recorder in there or put me on speakerphone surreptitiously.
We are most definitely not allowed to do that, but we are already discussing the production meetings.
What is, in Aditi's eyes, the number one Steelers training camp storyline as a former newspaper reporter and someone that loves
you're hunting the stories.
That kind of thing. The number one story is camp opens tomorrow.
I mean, for me, it's really how the offense looks, right? Because that's what's held them back for the last few years. And obviously, the team has devoted a lot of energies on shoring up that offensive line. What they are doing with Najee and Jalen Warren to some extent is a reflection of what they want to see out of the run game. Whatever's happening with Pat Freiermuth is all about what are we going to see out of the Arthur Smith offense. There's a reason that they went out and got Arthur Smith. He's putting his stamp on this team, so let's see how it gels. And obviously, it's very hard to see in training camp. This is really going to be about when the season comes, but we're going to get a sense of, is this line gelling? Are we seeing that level of nastiness that we were used to seeing? Are we seeing, what are we seeing out of Najee Harris? Is this lack of a contract? Is that creating a different chip on his shoulder? What are we seeing from Jalen Warren? Are we seeing more usage out of the tight ends, not just Pat Freiermuth, but Connor Hayward? I think that while you're not going to see the entire offense, you're certainly going to see a lot of signs, hints, things like that. And you just played Russell Wilson talking about the other wide receivers. Let's see.
Would you agree with us that saying Van Jefferson is really diligent is damning with the faintest of praise? He said, like, Calvin Austin's explosive. He was naming all these other things. And then he goes, Van Jefferson, he is a diligent guy. And I was like, if I'm Van Jefferson, I don't love that one.
You know what? No, because sometimes that's what separates you. It's your work ethic. It's your approach. It's how you practice. It's how on your P's and Q's you are. Do you know the playbook? Can you be counted on to run the right route when it is called to the right spot? All of those things matter. So, I mean, it's easy to call it damning, but like, it's not. One of the best receivers I've ever seen in my entire life, Larry Fitzgerald, is not the guy that you could describe as the fastest, the quickest, the twitchiest, the strongest. He just was really, truly the most reliable, dependable, and diligent.
Yes.
Are you disagreeing with
No,
me?
I do. I just was sidetracked
no,
by
I
something
was just,
here.
Well, Aditi, I was going to say, like, if somebody had called me, if somebody was asked, like, what's Chris like as a radio host? You know, how would you say he is? And they were like, oh, he works very hard. I would be like, ah, crap, I got to shore it up here. But I had a different...
Yeah, but you know what? Would you rather have the one explosive play a month, or would you be the guy that you can count on every single week for whatever it is, 5 catches and 75 yards?
Van Jefferson,
fortunately for us, Mulvey has both in his bag.
I will say...
The explosive take.
Good save, Pony. Good save.
If Van Jefferson gives them 5 and 75 a week, I will be dancing partially nude in this studio. I will be so happy.
Oh, my. I don't know that any of us needs to see that.
All right. Write it down. If Van Jefferson goes for 5 and 75
every
against
week,
the Falcons
every week,
we're probably going to violate all sort of FCC rules.
Joe Starkey used to take his shirt off in this studio a lot, and that was an even worse sight than what it would
when
look
he
like
did
for
after-
me.
This is one of these, like, please don't talk about this. Like, please. I don't need to hear
anyway,
this. My ears are closed.
I do have another camp storyline thing, though. Where on the list of camp storylines would you put Cam Hayward's contract situation, Aditi?
I don't, you know what, Cam is the consummate professional. I don't expect, I can't even see, I don't know. Can you guys see Cam ever being petulant? Can you ever see him turning into a cancer?
No, I did make the point to Jeff, though. He loves, I think, showing up and making the small talk with reporters, and here are the board games I brought, and here are the things I'm looking forward to and getting to camp. And he didn't do any of that today. So I do think his situation with the team is getting to him and weighing on him in some respects, where the trivial kind of fun stuff that comes with camp, he's just not into right now.
But that's fair. And he's also removing himself from the opportunity to be asked about those things.
Right.
And what is he going to say?
Yeah.
You know, at this point, you need to ask Omar Khan that question, not Cam Hayward. Cam's made pretty clear what he's looking for, what he wants. I just...
Has he, by the way,
I don't
on that?
Think... Can, I'm just saying I don't think it affects Cam on
fair
the
Fair enough,
field.
But can you just... Can you clarify Cam that? When you say... When you say... When you say he's made it clear what he wants, he's made it clear that he wants an extension, but has he made it clear how much money he wants? I mean, that's the thing that obviously is the issue with things.
Well, that... I think the Steelers are well aware of what Cam and his camp are looking for.
Do they want to get, like, I just...
Apparently
I,
they don't want to give it to him yet because it hasn't happened.
The fact that they, if they're clearly aware well, not, that they haven't wanted to give
of,
it to
when
him.
When do you know of a negotiation that's that easy? Where someone sits here and says, give me this, and the team says, okay, done, here we go.
When Malzi needed his contract renewed by the station, it went exactly like that.
Yeah, it was give me this, and then Malzi's? It was... Yeah, it was give me this, and then it was no, and then I said, well, crap, all right.
Hey, Aditi, do not take this at all personally, but because our programming is affected today by this Pirates game, we have to let you run because there's two outs in the ninth inning. So it has no reflection on you, but we have to get out here per our bosses. So thank you
all right, well,
for being flexible today.
All right, well, my son went to see Paul Skeens pitch last night and had the best time.
I was there,
so,
too. Where was my text message?
Oh,
did not
get
one.
Him?
No.
Well, you know, I hope the city finds a way to keep him.
There you go. Aditi Kinkabwala, everybody. We'll talk again next week. Thank
Bye,
you, Aditi. Congratulations
Bye,
again. Bye. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. See, she's one of those fans that you talked about. They watch the greatness of Skeens, but they still cannot, they can't block out, well, he'll be gone in 4 years or 5 years or whatever it is.
What if the entire city, every person that lives in the Pittsburgh metro area, ponied up $10 to... foot the bill for
we,
his
we
deal.
Started a GoFundMe page.
Just a GoFundMe for Paul Skeens along.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Term contract.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a high fly ball deep down the right field line. This is staying fair. This is way back and gone. Over the seats. Rowdy Tellez, a high-arcing long home run. And the Pirates lead 5-0. Two hits for Rowdy off the lefty today.
Give credit where credit is due to the Pirates. They needed this. It didn't look good on paper. Martin Perez, ERA over 7 in his last 5 starts. Brian Reynolds came down with back spasms before today's game against the Cardinals and was a late scratch. And by the way, on behalf of UPMC Health System, your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened today. Reynolds went out. That meant against a lefty spot starter, Rowdy Tellez had to go in, a guy who Derek Shelton trusts so little against lefties. that he pinch hit Tellez
with
Key Brian Hayes last night.
That's a slap in the face.
Yes, it is. And then Tellez went out there and not only hit the home run in the fourth inning to make it more than a one-swing game to put the Pirates up five, but he also had the massive hit in the second inning, which got things going for them. So he has been excellent, really, ever since the calendar turned to June, as Malzi knows, because of a bad Bucko Auction House bet on Tellez.
Appreciate you reminding me and everybody else of that. Thank you. Very cool.
He was not supposed to be in the lineup, and he was one of the big reasons why the Pirates were able to take 2 of 3 from the Cardinals. The game just went final. We'll talk about it all afternoon now. We just have to make sure we get Mike Florio in a few minutes to talk about the Steelers starting training camp, our weekly spot with him.
You know what was very obvious to me in this series? The Pirates were the clearly better baseball team. You could say that when a team wins a series 2 out of 3. It looked to me like they were obviously better than the Cardinals. The Cardinals won the series because they got literally 2 swings of the bat, a solo home run. Paul Skeens made 2 mistakes, and he paid for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And he made a bad 0-2 pitch that drove in the winning run.
Well, they did something in this series that makes fans believe in this team, optimistic about this team, makes me want to see them get better in the next 6 days with a big trade or two. Their starting pitching was spectacular. Keller went 7 on Monday, was great. Skeens, I don't care that he lost last night, great. Perez,
technically the
weakest
best
link, right, didn't give up a run. Their recipe, that's their formula. And this was like, they're going to have another one next this weekend against Arizona. These 3-game series, which are really almost like playoff tune-ups, playoff previews, because that's how long the wild card series are now, best of three, and you're playing these series against other wild card potential teams, and how do you beat those teams if you're the Pirates right now? You beat them with your great starting pitching, which, again, when the season started, we thought that that would be the Achilles heel of this team, that was their sore spot, that was where they needed to get better. They needed to sign Trevor Bauer. They needed to go out and get Marlins starting pitcher before the season started. Remember that whole discussion?
Mm-hmm.
When that trade fell through, how disappointed people were?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're driving home right now and you left this game, you watch the Pirates take 2 of 3 from St. Louis in large part because not only did your two big horses come through in Keller and Skeens, but you got unexpected production from probably your worst starting pitcher, who I didn't even think should have started today, Chris. I thought Priester had actually earned this start for them.
Maybe they were putting Perez on display, and if they were doing that, trying to lure anybody in to be both a buyer and a seller, he gave them about as good a start as you could possibly hope for. I don't think one team's going to be swayed by, hey, look, Martin Perez threw 6 shutout innings, but it's better than going 4 2/3 and giving up 6 runs.
Right.
He looked kind of like a crafty veteran lefty against a decent, I wouldn't say a great by any stretch, but a decent Cardinals lineup.
I guess Jeff asked Shelton
straight away
yesterday if this was do or die for Perez.
Said, is he pitching for his job? And I don't think Shelton liked it
Shelton
very much.
Shelton did not. And Jeff, I mean, how often does Jeff really ruffle feathers?
Jeff is the
feathers
consummate
pro. Feathers are so smooth.
Very lustrous even.
Yeah. And that's what happens with the Hawk report.
Lustrous like that of a hawk.
That's what happens when the Hawk gets in there. It's usually very fair questions, but not really
incendiary
probing ones.
He doesn't throw bombs
abrasive
out there.
Ones.
Yeah.
That's what you get with the Hawk.
So that's our Hawk sound. All right, play that one more time.
Did we come
Donnie,
close?
Try to go.
I can't even possibly get close to that. That's way too high.
Play it one more time. I got to hear it again.
That's just way too high of a noise.
You sound like a TV powering down from 1961.
I feel like Joe can get pretty high on that.
Starkey.
Yes.
I'm attacked by a hawk, Mulsey. A hawk came after me today.
Do you think a hawk could kill Starkey?
No. No. We have to get a little nervous because the one hawk hangs out, like I said, in our backyard, and we think that it could possibly take Lance, who's about 13 pounds. It doesn't even look at Larry.
Do you think a hawk could pick up Ace?
No. Ace weighs like 30 pounds. No way. But if I got my hands on a hawk that was trying to attack, that hawk would be dead.
What would be more damaging to you, the talons of the hawk or the beak?
The talons.
The talons.
Aditi said, what did Aditi say? She said
petulant.
She said petulin. I'd never heard it said
that
way.
What do you think would be more?
The talons are like razor sharp.
Don?
Those talons can take a bite out of you.
Talons are the what?
Beak.
Talons.
Talons are what it kills
you. So you'd rather take a beak to the face?
Yes.
Unless it's to the eye, in which case I'm losing the eye, but...
But the way you're describing it, if the talon got into the eye, that would be bad news, too.
If they grabbed my big bald head with those talons, man, I would need stitches, but I would grab that hawk and slam it on the ground like almost like it was a cartoon until it was dead.
The Pirates have beaten the Cardinals 5-0 at PNC Park. If you're leaving the game, we will get to that in a little bit and take your calls on it at 412-928-9370. The Steelers reported to training camp today. We will have coverage of that all summer long. Jeff Hathorn is there. Mike Tomlin set to talk in about an hour after the team's physical fitness test. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, the story that will not go away. Contract issues with the 49ers and how that affects Brandon Ayuk and the Steelers' potential marriage. Ayuk not practicing today. And to add to the tumult there, Trent Williams, with 3 years on his contract, said, I ain't practicing either. The best left tackle in football.
He's not even there, is he?
Another contract dispute.
I think he's a straight-up holdout.
Okay, so he's a holdout.
He has no guaranteed money left on that deal, despite there being 3 years left.
And after this year, they're going to have to negotiate with Brock Purdy. So let's bring on Mike Florio, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, is the door back ajar for the Steelers and Brandon Ayuk, given today's news?
Well, Ayuk shouldn't have shown up. Don't show up, because once you're there, the team is happy. Yeah, you can't be fine, but the team is happy, because if you eventually end up in an impasse, think about T.J. Watt a couple of years ago with the Steelers. If they ultimately had not been able to work out his deal, at some point it's time to play. At some point you got to go. If you hold out, you don't have that same pressure. So I think Ayuk shouldn't have shown up. I think showing up suggests he's really not all that serious about the trade request that he made a week and a half ago. That was just kind of a manifestation of him being at his wit's end. If he was truly at his wit's end, he wouldn't have shown up, like Trent Williams didn't show up. So I don't think it's a good sign that he's going to be available to be traded because he showed up.
Do you think that the Trent Williams calculus or situation at all just affects San Francisco's handling of Ayuk, or that they're just going to chill and wait it out with him?
I think with the 49ers, we've seen over time the squeaky wheel gets the cash. And Trent Williams holds out, he's more likely to get his because, and I don't want to get into the details of the CBA and cause anybody who may be driving to fall asleep. It's so much harder to take a stand once you've shown up. Once you're in the building, you really can't leave without having major potential problems under the CBA. Holding out is the way to do it. So Ayuk's there. They can just keep saying, no, that's too much, that's too much, we're not ready to pay you that, and Ayuk's eventually going to play. Trent Williams isn't going to show up until he gets what he wants. And it's funny because Fred Warner, the 49ers, recently said all this contract drama is a good problem to have. And I always say the only good problem is no problem. You know, the idea is, oh, we got all these great players, but you got to pay them and you got to find a way to pay them. And again, the 49ers have been responsive to the guys who scream the loudest. I don't think Ayuk has screamed loud enough. And to scream as loud as he should have, he shouldn't have shown up.
Najee Harris showed up. He does not have a fifth-year option. He admitted today for the first time that he was disappointed, Mike, that he did not get the option, which ends any kind of conjecture or speculation if you take him at his word, that he was telling the Steelers, don't pick up my option because I'd rather be a free agent after this year. That opinion or rumor was out there. So he put that to bed today. He also said that he was told, this was the reason why he was not given the fifth-year option, quote, they don't know which direction the offense is headed in. That kind of makes the coach and offensive coordinator look bad, doesn't it?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that can be interpreted. How much are we going to run the ball? Do we really need to make the investment? And here's the thing with the fifth-year option now. It used to be it was guaranteed for injury only until the start of the league year when the fifth-year option salary applies. Now, the moment you exercise it, you are locked in, guaranteed for the fourth year of the rookie deal and for the option year. So if there's regression, if it just isn't a fit, if it doesn't work, you're on the hook for that money. And the Steelers far more comfortable in the possibility. The Buccaneers did this with Doug Martin years ago. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option.
The muscle hamster.
And they signed him to a long-term contract.
What do you think are the chances that the Steelers would actually do a long-term deal with Harris after this year?
All depends on what he does this season.
Let's see, he has another season like he's had, though. He gets just north of 1,000 yards, maybe not the most efficient performance, but he's a 1,000-yard workhorse for them.
I know from going to the Browns game last year, and there's a fundamental difference, even as good as football looks on TV, there's something about being there. It's more noticeable that Najee Harris doesn't have the same burst as other running backs. He can still muscle his way to 4 or 5 yards, but when Jalen Warren gets the ball, he's gone. You feel it. When Najee Harris gets it, he doesn't have that same acceleration, and it's not going to get any better as he gets older and more wear and tear. And there's so many running backs you can find any given year, every round of the draft, undrafted like Jalen Warren. I just think it's a no-brainer that he's going to have such a big year that politically the Steelers have to sign him, that the fan base is going to demand that they bring Najee Harris back. That's the only way I think he'll be back in 2025.
Along those lines, how about the Hayward contract stalemate? My observation on today, Mike, is he is one of these gregarious guys, also wants to get into the media, I think he will, who does like showing up to training camp in the badinage and the small talk that comes with, I'm here, here's my TV, here are my board games, here's what we're going to do, I'm happy to be here. He loves doing that. Did not take part in any of that today. Did it silently and quietly reporting to camp. Tells me that that's a tacit admission that he's not thrilled with his contract situation. What do you think happens there?
Yeah, I mean, he's made it clear that he's not thrilled. He wants to stay, and he's put out this idea of playing for the Browns next year. I know that went over well with Steelers fans, but he wants to stay. And it's funny because the moment he doesn't want to stay, in theory, Mike Tomlin should trade him or release him because we want volunteers, not hostages. But he just wants to have the financial security beyond this year. You get older and you know that it can be done any given season. There's nothing wrong with looking for a little more security. And that seems to be what he's been trying to get so far unsuccessfully.
Mike, we did laugh. Russell Wilson was talking about the receivers, and he said, George Pickens, you know, he's great. This guy, you know, incredible what he's capable of. And then he tried to do one of those things that a teacher does maybe in class where they have to think of something nice to say about each student when he was naming number two wide receiver potential guys. He did say Calvin Austin first, though. You read anything into that? He was very effusive in his praise for a guy who's about, what, Pony, 5'7", 5'6"?
Yeah, how tall are you, Mike? Are you a big guy?
I'm 5'11", 3/4". I know I don't look.
Does your driver's license say 6 feet, however?
No, it doesn't. I'm fine with being 5'11" and 3/4". I don't need to add the extra half inch.
Now, Pony, here's the thing. I am 6 feet even, but what if we ever finally meet up with Mike for beers and I find out that we're exactly the same height? I'll have to revise it down.
Exactly.
I'd have to revise it down.
Mike, just...
Well, I wear lifts in my shoes, so maybe I'll be taller than you.
You know who else does? My dad is in the new Tulsa King season. He's part of that show.
Okay.
And so he's working with Stallone, and he says Stallone wears like 2-foot lifts.
I was going to say, he's got to have platform heels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stallone could have been in the Lollipop Guild in a different era, if you know what the Lollipop Guild is.
Hey, Mike, go ahead.
On Russell Wilson, though. That's an old shtick for him. I think he was just maybe starting alphabetical order. I've been on the phone with him in the past, and when you ask him about another teammate, he makes sure he mentions every single player on the roster.
Now, if you were Van Jefferson, he said, Van Jefferson, he's so diligent. Would you be offended if you were Van Jefferson and the best he could say is hard worker, focuses a lot?
He's got a nice personality.
She's cute. All right, Mike, thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
See you guys.
There you go. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Yeah, we'll talk a lot with him. We'll want to talk a lot with him, with football starting to heat up. But we do have the Buccos, and they have taken 2 of 3 from the Cardinals. Here's how I want to start the conversation coming back here at 412-928-9370. And I'm going to ask Malzi to hold off on his opinion on this. I'm going to hold off on mine because I want Donnie's to start. And then we're going to get to callers on it too. When you think of this Cardinals series, how do you view it? Is it more about them taking 2 out of 3, or is it more about them blowing last night's game? What is a stronger feeling in Donnie football? That they took 2 of 3 and it was Husing's taking care of business. TCB. Who is that?
BTO, I thought.
BTO. BTO, TCB. BTO saying TCB, taking care of business. Is it more that they took 2 out of 3? Meatloaf said that's not bad. Or is it you had a sweep right there for you, and because of Grandal dropping a ball, not bunting, Ke'Bryan Hayes double play, all of these blunders last night, you lost a game for your ace pitcher with 32,000 people in the house. And if you sweep, you're ahead of the Cardinals right now, and you're in a playoff spot.
Yeah, I'm going to take 2 in the hand here, though, because when you look at the record, it doesn't really matter who was on the mound, how many people were in the stadium. They did take 2 out of 3 against a team that has bullied them for the last quarter century, has beaten their head in for the last 25-plus years.
So if I had made you the offer beforehand, Donnie, I'm giving you the win. They're going to win the Keller start and the Perez start. Are you okay with them only taking 2 of 3? You would have said yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Because otherwise, what if they would have won yesterday and lost the other two? They're coming out of this with just 1 of 3, but hey, Paul Skenes won his game.
I know, but I'm to a point where I feel like they should win every Skenes game, Chris.
Well, sure they should, but I mean, you go into today.
And when you have a series where Skenes loses, I'm going to feel like they left.
I'm withholding my opinion until the next segment like you asked me to.
Thank you. Good boy. And come over and pet you.
What am I, a dog? Do you have any treats?
No, I'm absolutely satisfied with taking 2 out of 3. I know that it's frustrating with how last night went, but Perez, for whatever reason, he's still going to be dynamite against the Cardinals, I guess, and just suck against everybody else.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
Horse rat pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.